What's up, podcast people? I know this intro may sound a little bit different, but that's because this is live from the future. Future. Anyways, I am adding in this PSA, foreword, antidote, if you will, to the beginning of the podcast that you're about to listen to. And it has been brought to my attention that I have created a large spiritual faux pas, which is okay. It's okay to put your feet in your mouth if you didn't know that you weren't supposed to be eating your foot. Anyways, the reason I'm creating this is I have learned a lot of things about astral projection, which is something that we're going to talk about in the podcast that you're about to listen to. And one of the things I mentioned in the podcast is the idea of astral projection in my what I call conspiracy theory, which is just my own silly personal thought that I had before I was enlightened by a couple different viewers and listeners of this podcast, that what I was saying in my conspiracy theory could incite sadness, alarm. I don't think you would panic, but it could make people feel like it's dangerous to astral project, and that if you astral project and do it wrong because you are astral projecting. Okay, I thought that astral projection, hence the name of this podcast, is that your soul is sort of leaving your body, and that's not it. I have been enlightened by a few other people that have reached out to me after listening to this podcast that that's not what it is. It's actually your consciousness. So you can't be harmed in the spiritual sense that I think a lot of people, like I did literally last week, thought about, like, my conspiracy theory of, like, your soul leaves your body, and if you wander too far off, then you're just stuck in a coma forever, that type of thing. That is not true. And that is what I wanted to talk about first before you get into the podcast, because my conspiracy theory was not right. And the word conspiracy theory that I used isn't even right, because technically a conspiracy theory is like a small group of people that are trying to, like, put the kibosh on something, you know? They're like trying to incite ruckus in, like, an organization or something. So not even the right words there. But instead of taking this podcast down, as we're going with the theme of the Pagely Sage, I'm here to show you guys that I don't know everything, and that even though I don't know something, I'm going to stick with that, because I think it's good to show people that not everyone is perfect and that you can learn from things and change your opinion. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. So please continue to listen to this podcast, but with the knowing that my silly conspiracy theory about how a soul can astral project, leave the body, and then wander off and get lost and never come back is not something that I believe. And you should not be scared or nervous or intimidated by the thought of astral projection, because your soul does not leave your body. That is not at all what it is. And I have now learned that from a group of people that have reached out to me to enlighten me and give me more resources to understand what actual astral projection is, which is what we will be talking about next week, is what I've learned. So given all of that, please enjoy the podcast, knowing that my opinions have changed and my understanding of astral projection is now hopefully much more educated. And I hope that we can continue to learn together. Hello and welcome to another episode of MetaPsych Kicks. My name is Liv, and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. Are you guys excited to talk about a very interestingly odd topic that I feel like I kind of need a shower after researching and maybe a drink and to, like, sit quietly outside and, like, look into the sun a little bit? And that topic today is going to be a lovely question that was asked by a Patreon subscriber, Martina. I'm saying your name like that. I don't know why I feel the need to say it. Martina. Martina asks, what is happening to the soul if someone is in a coma or vegetative state? That's what we're going to be talking about today. So this involves learning about comas, but a little bit about astral projection, which we've already talked about before loosely in past podcasts, but I'm late to the game. My brother is someone, I have an older brother, is someone who goes onto Reddit. So therefore I have decided to stay off of Reddit my entire life up until this point, which is a couple days ago as of now. And I don't know. I just feel like, you know, there's the rules of the internet, which I think the first rule of the rules of the internet is that there are no rules. So the fact that Reddit exists just scares me as a beast of itself. And I've only ever had people tell me about Reddit and what the people of the Reddit universe say about me. So I don't know. I feel like the things that people have told me that Reddit has a perception of me about are like things that would hurt my feelings. So therefore I've just like stayed off of Reddit. One, older brother goes on it, so it makes me scared. Two, things that I don't understand about Reddit is that the first thing is that the internet rules is that there is no rules, and I'm sure that Reddit subscribes to that. And three, I've only heard people tell me less than desirable things about what the Reddit universe thinks about me, so therefore I've stayed off Reddit. But today, for all of you, I have gone onto Reddit to understand what people have experienced when they've been in comas and what possibly, aside from my own opinion, could be within the realm of what happens to your soul when you're in a coma or vegetative-like state, and if that has anything to do with astral projection, because for the longest time, I've wanted to talk about this, but I just haven't, I don't know, it just hasn't happened. So now I'm taking the time to go out of my comfort zone by diving into the deep universe of Reddit and answer Martina's question, which I assume many of you also have. Are you excited? Excellent. Let's get into it.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Okay, so do I have a life update today? I don't know. It is October. It's almost my wedding anniversary with my husband, which is fun. We'll have been married for 2 years and been together for a total of 9 years, which doesn't seem as long of a time as I possibly, like, it seems like. You know, time is just an enigma. It's a weird conceptualization that humans have created, and possibly animals. I think animals have a sense of time, maybe. They have to, right? Because they age. Age is a progression of time in a physical sense. Anyways, I don't know. It's been weird that we've almost been together for a decade. We'll have been together almost longer, maybe. It feels like we're getting closer to have been together almost longer than we were not together each year that we're together. And it's, I don't know. I read something the other day that, you know, when you, I worked in corporate life for a little bit, and it was a fun time, I'm not gonna lie. But that was because I made the fun times, which were mediocre at best, but I gave it my all when I worked in corporate life. But I learned that when people turn 50, if you give them a card that says, over the hill or something like that, then they get upset with you because everyone now conceptualizes themselves as living to 100, but not many people live to 100. Not many people even live to be into their 90s. Yet we think that 50 is quote unquote middle-aged, but most people only live into their late 60s to middle late 70s, 80s, if you're lucky. So technically 38 is middle-aged. You know what I'm saying? Is that ruining some of your lives right now like it ruined my life? I hope that puts things into perspective for a lot of you in maybe a good way and maybe a slightly comical way, because that's how I'm going to look at it. But that's kind of my life update. I don't know. The passage of time has been something that's been really freaking me out lately. But I guess in the grand scheme of things, it matters and it doesn't matter. But I don't know. That's not what we're talking about today. That's just kind of my life update. It's going to be my anniversary. It will have already passed because my anniversary is on October 15th with my husband. So by the time this podcast comes out on Sunday, it'll have passed. But it's exciting. I finally took the time to print out wedding photos. When I got the wedding photos back, the photographers that I hired were basically like family friends of my friend who did her wedding photos. So I was like, yeah, great. They're really nice. I'll support them. And then I ended up getting the photos back. And I remember asking them like in person, I was like, listen, you said that you edit the photos, right? That's a lot. But I also paid a lot for the wedding photos. And they're like, yeah, we edit the photos. I'm like, you mean like Photoshop, like touch them up and everything? And this guy looked me in the face and was like, yes, that is what we do. And I was like, great, cool. And then I got my wedding photos back and I realized that that's not at all what they do. He took like a lot of like sideways pictures and they're good. But I just like was under the impression, since he looked me square in the face and said that he would Photoshop them to like make the lighting correct and like people's skin tones and stuff like that. He told me in my face that he'd do that and then he didn't. And then when I told him about it, there's like this nuance in the lingo of that editing photos just means that they're going to put them in a sequential order of when they happened in the date to the best of their ability, and that touch up is actually the correct legal verbiage if you want that to be done to your photos in a wedding. So I cried when I got my wedding photos back, and I waited like 3 months for them to come, and then I cried. And I cried and cried and cried about it and was so sad that I spent so much money and like none of the photos were touched up, because apparently editing and touched up means entirely different things in the photo lingo world. And but I also didn't know that I was pregnant at the time. So I think most of the theatrical hysterics was the fact that I didn't know that I was pregnant at the time. But nonetheless, it's taken me 2 years to print out the wedding photos and frame them. And I finally did that. That was my gift to my husband this year. And then I got him one other gift, but he might listen to this and I won't have it yet. So I can't tell you all what it is because, you know, that would ruin the surprise. But yeah, I feel like middle-aged is a different term now if we think about it, of being like 38 or 40. If you want to think that you're going to live to be 80, then 40 would be middle-aged. But yeah, the passage of time, it's a weird thing. Anywho, thanks for listening to my weird life update. My brain is just scrambled after researching this stuff and like reading things on Reddit. And I'm telling myself that I need to record this podcast now after rereading the stuff that I've already researched and then the stuff that I added to it today so that I can get the podcast done. But I honestly, I don't know. I feel like I need a smoke break or something, and I don't even smoke. So let's just get into it. So as I said, Martina, she asked, or they, you can do you, Martina. They ask, what's happening to the soul if someone is in a coma or vegetative state? I figured that given this question, we should first define what a coma is, because I don't know, maybe some people might not know it because you're listening to this podcast and English isn't your first language. And you're like, is she saying a comma? Isn't that a thing that they use in grammar? And no, a coma. A coma, defined medically, is a state of deep unconsciousness where a person is alive but cannot move or respond to their environment. Now, Do I want to start out by telling you what I think the answer to Martina's question is, or should we just get into the things that I've written down? I think possibly I should talk about what I think my answer is as of now, as a medium and just a person that has a brain that isn't in a vegetative state right now that can dictate to you what my opinion is. But yeah, we'll start with that first. So these people that are in a deep unconsciousness where they're alive but cannot move or respond to their environment, my answer has to do with astral projection. And astral projection is something that me as an individual is extremely uncomfortable talking about because I'm on the fence about it. I feel like astral projection can be a thing, but I also have not experienced it. So my skepticism of its plausibility is extremely, extremely high. And every person that I have, I went on a Reddit deep dive of astral projection over the past couple days. And it seems that everything that people talk about on astral projection is just like a dream, honestly. But they're like, no, it was different because it felt different. And I'm like, okay. And it seems like, how do I compare this? Like if you were eating a sausage and someone else was eating the same sausage and you were like, wow, this sausage is delicious. And you just talk about the ways that you think it's delicious. And that's like a normal person having a dream. And then the person that thinks that they're astral projecting is like, no, this sausage is spicy. It is super hot. I feel like this bun actually was put on the bottom of the sausage instead of the top of it. And like these condiments, they're not ketchup and mustard. They're mustard and ketchup. You know, I don't know if everyone's clicking off because I have such an odd opinion about astral. I mean, as like, you know, everyone, I would, if you're listening to this and you know me, you know I'm a psychic medium. If you're not and you're new to this, now you know that I'm a psychic medium. But my flavor of mediumship is like talking to dead people, talking to alive animals, talking to plants, talking to houses, like channeling energy of things that were once in physicality, which I guess in a grand scheme of things, even though I channel spirit guides, since spirit guides could be past lives, that would be within the realm of physicality. But the idea of astral projection to me just seems same, same, but different to dreaming and or lucid dreaming. But people are just like, no, it's a little spicier. You know, I don't. So anyways, to answer Martina's question, my opinion is that the soul and the body stay together, or the soul may wander depending on the state of the body, medically speaking. Because last week we talked about in the podcast the idea or the question of, do you think the soul lives in the body or the body lives in the soul? And I think given both of those questions, you can delegate that both can be true depending on the perspective of spirituality or the perspective that you hold in and of itself based on the question. But even if you say, because I'm embracing the side of the question of that the body lives in the soul, this sort of energetic effervescence of the soul, which permeates throughout the body, I still feel like if you're in a vegetative state or a coma and you are unconscious to the world around you, I mean, it says that you're in an unconscious state where you don't respond and you can't move. You don't respond to your environment or you can't move. But like the stories I'm going to read to you guys real soon is going to like be, it's changed my opinion maybe a little bit. I don't know. Like when I talk to people who astral project, they have told me that their soul leaves their body, or there is this projection of their consciousness which moves away from their body and can transcend into the physical world, but in an ether-like state, and or their like projection of themselves can wander into alternate realities type of things or different aspects of existence, energetically speaking. And they say that there's like this thread that tethers them to their body. Some people believe that there's like spirit animals or energetic animals that help them to traverse different frequencies of existence in, quote, the astral plane. There's like cats and there's moths or butterflies and there's birds, I think, or snakes. And I'm not entirely sure what all of those things mean, aside from that those things help the souls or the projections of those people get back to their bodies. And the only thing that I have a sort of conspiracy theory, like hunched over this board with all these red connecting threads about, is what happens to the people that are in a coma or vegetative state and their soul, like they actually are astral projecting and their soul wanders too far from their body. And then that is what like severs the thread of their projection from their physical existence and leads to them actually like medically dying. That's my like conspiracy theory about astral projecting and like the thing that I want to go on like a weird kooky rampage about that relates to Martina's question. But in my opinion right now, I think that your soul is going to stay with your body. If you're in a coma or vegetative state, like if you are still alive, then your soul is going to stay where it's supposed to be. However, if you do have like an OBE, an out of body experience, because I've learned that lingo from the Reddit community. if you do have like an out of body experience and you die, say your heart stops, you stop breathing, whatever, then that could lead to what some of the things I've written down from people's Reddit stories is where your soul would sort of leave your body and you would go into either, I don't think it's necessarily astral. I think it's more so like into heaven or spirit or this energetic leeway of where a soul would be until their body, their soul comes back into their body. Because at that point, your body is separate from the frequency of your soul. See, like thinking about this right now, I feel like your body has to be, physiologically speaking, on like a scientific level, has to be operating at a certain frequency in order for your soul or your soul's energy to be tied to it. I don't know. That's just the thought that sort of claircognizantly popped into my brain while I'm talking about it. But if at any point in time your body does not match the same frequency of your soul, then that I think is when that suffusion of energy would sort of separate like oil and water. I don't know. I think there's some sort of physiological frequency or state of being alive that is what attaches your soul or allows your soul to meld and mix with it as it does in existence. So if that frequency gets off or there's something that mixes with the vibe, if you will, then that would dictate how your soul separates from your body. And you would have these out-of-body experiences. But other than that, I think medically and physiologically, if you're okay, your body is still going to be attached to your soul. Your body is still going to be residing within your soul. But when it sort of moves away from each other, then that would be where the separation starts. Aside from my silly, wonky theory of, like, if someone actually, like, could you imagine, like, I just, I'm not saying like in a coma, I'm just saying, what if you astral project and that leads to a vegetative or coma like state? So like you successfully, this is just like my hokey theory. If you are trying to astral project, but you wander too far from your body and then you can't get back, does that lead to someone going into a coma and a vegetative state and then they just die? Or you eventually come back to your body and find it? Like you lost your car in the parking lot type of thing. And then you just wake back up and people are like, we found you in your house and you were in a coma. So we put you in the hospital and it's been 8 years. You're like, dude, I just forgot where I left that thing. You know, like that's my perspective of it. But anyways, back to Martina's question, which is what's happening to a soul if someone is in a coma or vegetative state. I think that there's nothing happening to the soul as long as there's As long as your body is within the physical constraints of being quote unquote alive, then your soul is going to stay around your body. But if those things or a factor throws a spanner in the works, then that would lead to an out-of-body experience or residing in a space that would be like heaven until your body sort of regulates itself or someone in the waking world helps you and you're able to rejoin your soul and your body together as one. So with my opinion and hokey conspiracy being stated, let's talk about some of the things that they do to understand if someone is still quote unquote alive within a vegetative or coma like state. Cause it, like, your body can be living, your blood can be pumping and your lungs can be breathing, even if it's with the help of a ventilator, etc. But if you don't have brain activity, then that would be when they consider someone brain dead. So what they use when someone is in a coma to measure the brain activity that's going on within that person is an EEG or an electroencephalogram. And these are used to monitor brain activity. So a flat line on this sort of waveform would be a link to being brain dead, but they're measuring different brain waves. I think there was like alpha brain waves, we're not going to get into like the specific nitty gritties of it just because I don't think people really care that much like I do. But there was different brain waves that they measure in order to, or that are correlated with different parts of your brain. So they've used these EEGs in studies to analyze if someone is going to have a recovery or like what their chances of coming out of a coma are. And they've linked these studies to sound. Because like, okay, we can go back to the definition of a coma, right? Which is a state of deep unconsciousness where a person is alive but cannot move or respond to their environment. But these studies with sound have shown that people can actually hear things, or their brain at least is hearing things. I don't know if they're cognitively hearing them around themselves. We'll get into that when we get to the Reddit stories. But their brain at least is responding, so that you can see on the EEG that their brain is picking up the sound and responding to it with the lights and the stuff that lights up on their brain, basically. But it's only been with sound, which is interesting because I've read that the person is unresponsive, but that doesn't mean that they can't hear or perhaps feel things around them. And I feel like maybe since the studies that I read about, which will be, and there's one study, I wrote it, it's going to be in the sources below in the show notes or the description. If you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel, you can go and read that little study that I also read. But I just think it's interesting that I mean, maybe they only used sound because they don't want to like touch people's hands or something. Maybe there's like an ethical thing when you're doing research on people that are unconscious in like every form. But it was interesting. It seems that most studies are related to sound, not really people being touched. But by studying the brain's responses to sound, doctors can evaluate whether a patient is likely to awaken and sometimes even evaluate the patient's neurological condition post-coma wake-up. So it's just, I don't know, like you can be listening to loved ones around you, but is that similar to a near-death experience? Because technically you're not dead, because your brain is moving, you're responsive to sounds. And some of these stories, people know that people are touching them. So I don't know. It's just an odd thing to think about. Again, I think the soul is still connected to the body as long as you are technically alive, because there is some sort of frequency in which your state of aliveness is linked to your soul's essence permeating it. So, oh no. Anyways, let's get into the Reddit stories of people. I don't know. I put their Reddit handles if you want to go on and look, but I just went on to Reddit and looked up I think it was like coma experiences. And then the other ones were meditation. And because I guess on meditation, like the people that are on meditating Reddit do not like people that have astral projection things when they talk about it. They like ixnay that. But I was also on astral projection Reddit, so you can just go on there and read things. It's wild, my guys. So getting into the stories of people that have had or experienced comas or known people that have experienced comas. So the OPUS says that they were in a medically induced coma on a ventilator. They had their eyes not open, but they could hear and feel the things that were going on around them. For example, they said that they were counting the beeps in the medical, like, because they were hooked up to machines, right? Because they were in a medically induced coma after having a surgery. So they remember coming back to this sort of, they called it like a wake up in their head. So they would wake up in their head. They couldn't open their eyes and they couldn't move their body, but they could hear everything around them and they could feel everything. So they would count the beeps on their life support or like life machines, the things that they were hooked up to. And I guess one of their friends came in not once, but twice to talk to them, and they could hear them talking, but they couldn't respond to them. And they even tried really hard to squeeze their hand because their friend squeezed their hand too and was like, if you can hear me, squeeze my hand. And he said that he tried, or they tried really, really hard to squeeze their hand, but they couldn't. And they said that even a few times when they would, like, they just said that they would drift back. Almost like they went from this sleepingness to this conscious wakefulness, but waking up in their head where everything was dark. But they said that a few times they had incredibly vivid dreams. They didn't detail them, but they said that they had to remind themselves that once they finally woke up out of their coma and they recalled those dreams, they had to remember that they didn't actually happen because they felt so incredibly vivid and detailed to them. The one thing that I found was interesting, though, was that they said, Opus, they said that when they ended up coming out of their coma, which they were in for a pretty long time, I think it was like a couple months, they were asked, like, what year is it? Who's the president? And where are you? And they knew that it was the year 2000, which, please, insert the Jonas Brothers song right here, because that's all I could think about when I read this for a second. But they knew it was the year 2000. They knew who was president, but they said that their first answer of where, like, where are you? They answered Honolulu. And they said that all of the people around them got like these Scooby-Doo sort of like confused looks on their faces. And then they answered Salt Lake City, because I guess that was the city they were actually in. And they knew that was the answer they should have said, but they wanted to say Honolulu. And the reason that they did was because the only inkling of the dreams that Opus gave in their Reddit dissertation was that every dream that they had while they were in their coma, they were in Honolulu. Which is so weird to me. So, like, okay, we obviously don't know the Opus's medical things, right? But if we're thinking about, like, the soul, when I talk to souls, when they're in heaven or spirit, the way that I can conceptualize heaven or spirit is as the collective lucid dream in which all souls go to when they're in heaven, spirit, source, whatever you want to call it, the place in which free souls reside. So it is like a collective lucid dream, because souls can manifest their surroundings, but you can also, like, heaven, as far as I've been able to be shown it from talking to souls, is that it is a mirror image of Earth, however, with the caveat of it being like a lucid dream. So you can exist in a place that is like a mirror image of Earth, but if you want to exist, say, in your childhood home, but you wish that it was a castle, you could make it look like a castle. If you want to live out your fantasies of living in a, like, oh, what was his name? Like Fabio Sexy Time novel, which this is an illusion. I'm alluding to the fact that I talked to a soul of a woman, this woman's mom. It was so funny. I might have talked about this in a past podcast, but she lived out her life in heaven, her afterlife, if you will, with like interesting Fabio-esque type things, fantasies, if you will. And that was her heaven. So like you can live, and another person I talked to, they lived, it was a woman and her sister, they had both passed, and they lived in a version of the house that they both grew up in, but with the outside surrounding area looking like something from Little House on the Prairie. It was very interesting. So it is this sort of mirror image of Earth, but you have the ability to manifest your surroundings as you see fit because you're no longer dictated by physicality. You live in an energetic space, or you exist, quote unquote, in an energetic space. So therefore you can manipulate your surroundings energetically. It's not like you have to chop down trees to build your house. You can just think about it and it happens. So when the Opus talks about how all of their dreams happened in Honolulu, yes, it could be the fact that Honolulu was a space in which their mind felt safe. So therefore, during their comatose state, they projected that as a place to feel safe when they weren't in this quote unquote wake up in their head times. But it also, when I was reading this, made me think about the fact of when you're in heaven or spirit, you can manifest your surroundings. And if you felt like you were in Honolulu, perhaps at times his soul did wander to Honolulu, or he was in that in-between sort of heaven-esque like landscape where his soul was manifesting the surroundings of Honolulu. So like, what do you think? Do you think that maybe he astral projected to Honolulu? Or do you think that maybe his soul left his body and was in this heaven-esque landscape of Honolulu, which would be, if he were to have died, maybe he was having an out-of-body experience. I don't know what the difference between a near-death experience and an out-of-body experience is, where his heaven was Honolulu. I don't know. That's why I told you I need a drink after this, you guys. Like, oh, I feel like I need to sleep on this stuff to like ground myself and bring myself back into reality and not just like get stuck in this landscape of astral projection and comatose vegetative states. But anyways, Martina, this is a great question to ask because I'm excited to share these with you. All right, next question was by deleted. So I guess they deleted their Reddit account. But they said that they were in a coma for 5 weeks at the age of 12 because they had meningitis. During this time, their mom would come to the hospital and read Lord of the Rings to them. And I guess this person had lots of dreams. Specifically, the one that they talked about was eating ice cubes under a bridge with Bilbo Baggins, which I just think is hilarious. Could you imagine that type of dream? And they recovered. So I in a coma for 5 weeks. So for 5 weeks, you remember your mom coming in and reading Lord of the Rings to you. But then I guess when they drifted back off into their sleep or non-waking state, I guess, they had dreams of eating ice cubes under a bridge with Bilbo Baggins. But like, I feel like this one, it's pretty safe to say that that was like dreams and that their soul was still securely within their body or around their body. But I don't know. So this one is interesting. This one creeps me out a little bit, this story. It's by Nitzlarb, and they said that their dad was in a coma for 2 months. And this story freaks me out because it kind of has stuff about like timelines. So I guess Nitzlarb's dad told them that he dreamed or hallucinated that during the 2 months he was in a coma, that he lived for 10 years. So in the 2 months that Nitzlarb's dad was in a coma, he dreamed that for 10 years he did all sorts of things, including walking across the country 2 times. And that when he woke up, he said that it threw him off for a while when he'd run into people he hadn't seen since his coma because he expected them to have aged 10 years. Now, this one freaks me out, like I said, because like, what if his soul did sort of detach from the physicality of his body and wandered outside of time and space for what he conceptualized as 10 years? Like, that freaks me out. I don't know. Because like, to be within the stream of time, my subjective understanding of it is that physicality is what anchors us to the stream of time. So if you're a physical being, you perceive time because time is going to pass you in a conceptually linear fashion. That's why I like to use the phrase stream of time, and probably why so many others before me have as well. Because in physicality, you're in the stream of time. However, your soul exists outside of time, which is why when I talk to people during readings, the souls of people, they know, see, hear, and feel everything. So they're privy, since they exist outside of the stream of time, since they're no longer a part of physicality, but a part of energy, then they can see things outside of your physical linear time progression. So they're sentient, if you will, or conscious of the things that are happening, have happened, and will happen to you. So for this person, for Nitzlab's dad, to have felt like he was outside of time for 10 years makes me feel like, in a hypothetical way, you could hypothesize or theorize that his soul lived outside of time for 10 years. And again, that sort of like heaven-esque like landscape, or in the astral, since I don't know what the astral really is. I can't define it. And I can't necessarily seem to find anyone that can define it in a more, what is it? Like, concrete way? I don't know. Maybe it's just too abstract for me to understand right now. But if my opinion changes, I will let you guys know. I mean, we're going to talk more about astral projection too in a little bit when I get past these stories, because I do want to share these stories with you. And we'll talk about maybe trying this astral projection trick that people are talking about. But anyways, next comatose story is by Alpha Wolf Particle, and they say that their mother was in a coma for 2 weeks, and during these 2 weeks, their mother said that they existed within a huge, lush forest with beautiful white light filtering through the canopy above, and that the entire time they heard beautiful music, and that God spoke to her, saying that it wasn't her time, and after she woke up, she became extremely religious. So this is a little odd for me, because I would put this under possibly the, and this wasn't like a medically induced coma. This was a coma that I assume was related to blood loss. Because when we talk about comas or the understanding of a coma can happen from like a stroke or lack of action. It's mostly like lack of oxygen to the brain, which can be a result of blood loss, because if you don't get enough blood to your brain or too much blood on your brain, there isn't like, it depends on, you know, if there's blood on your brain, then it's going to inhibit blood flow, like oxygen flow from your brain, because that's not the way blood is supposed to flow through your brain. But if you don't have enough blood in your brain, i.e. from blood loss, then that can put you into a coma too, because your brain has therefore been deprived of oxygen. Even if you like have an experience where you don't get enough oxygen to your brain, like almost drowning, then that could also put you into a coma-like state. Anyways, I feel like in this situation, based on what Alpha Wolf Particle shared, their mother's soul could have been in that. I don't want to call it like a limbo, but it actually maybe that is a good way to put it, like a limbo-like state, because they're not in heaven, but they are sort of, I don't know. I was trying to ask how to explain this when I was doing the research for this podcast. And what I was shown, or what I saw either from my own brain or my spirit guides, because now I'm just like all messed up about whether anything is real. Like, this stuff just really freaks me out, you know? I was asking, how is it possible that I channel souls, which I've already talked about, but to visually conceptualize it, what I saw was sort of like my body, my soul exists in this physical realm, right? And spirit exists in this spiritual or energetic metaphysical realm. I like to use the word energetic, because everything within physicality is a sublimation of energy, right? But it's almost like our souls, or the place in which souls reside, is a non-physical form of energy. It's just everything in our world is made up of energy. It's just whether or not we can quantify and conceptualize it. So anyways, the way that they showed me this is almost like, imagine if you were like a fish in a pond, right? It seems like the world underneath the water is separate from your own, which it is in a sense. However, when a soul speaks to me and I see a sort of a glimpse of heaven or wherever it is that they're in that space and time, energetically speaking, it's like if they were to dip their finger into the pond of where I live and I'm a fish, you know, like I can see them and they are connecting with the energy of me, but I don't, that's kind of what they showed me in a sense of like when I'm talking to souls that are in heaven or spirit, whatever you want to call it. When I'm talking to souls in heaven, they sort of dip their energy into mine, which allows me to see and receive the information that I'm supposed to in order to communicate things to the person that made a reading with me or wherever it is that I am, to communicate that information as a medium, almost as if you were to dip your finger into a pond and a fish is looking at you. Like that transfer of energy and that recognition of self, but differences. I don't know. It was interesting. So I was just trying to figure out how maybe that would be how you can conceptualize how someone might be astral projecting, or their soul is just not quite as, I'm not going to say physically, but I want to say soulfully tied to their body in these instances of a coma or vegetative-like state. Because reading this, saying that this woman described that she was in a lush forest with white light coming through the canopy and music playing and that God spoke to her and telling her that it wasn't her time, I feel like she was in that sort of spiritual limbo, if you will, where her body and her soul were not one. They were disconnecting from each other. And this being or whatever came to her and was like, listen, you got to kind of hang out with your body for a little bit longer because it ain't your time, girl. You know, so that's the way I interpret this. But it could also just be the mind trying to understand the situation that they're in. And given the things that they've understood from the time that they were alive, that's how their body and their mind processes it. But this in and out of consciousness from a dreamlike to a more reality-like state seems to be something that isn't a constant. Okay, because I was trying to figure out like what happens or how do people experience being in a coma and how is it that they resolve themselves or what is it? They don't resolve. That's rude to say. How is it? What is it like when they come out of a coma? You know, like what is it like when they're in it versus what is it like when they come out of it? And there was two very different things. Either when they're in the coma, they don't remember anything and they say it was just like sleeping, or just like when you are put under anesthesia, it's just you remember what happened before you were knocked out, quote unquote, and then you just wake up and it's just like a light switch being flicked on and off. Or the other side or like pattern that I realized was that there's this in and out sort of fluctuation of from consciousness to a dreamlike state or something that's more like a reality, which is really odd to me. I don't know. It's just some people are like, I hit my head, something bad happened, and then I don't know what happened. And then I woke back up and someone told me it was like 5 years later. And then other people were like, there was this weird stuff that happened. I was in a bad situation. I knew people were around me. I could hear them talking. I could hear them holding my hand. I had horrible nightmares or really, really cool dreams that were super vivid and like lovely, and I never wanted to leave them. And then I woke up and it's just like, I don't know. And some people described this state of where they had very intense semi-lucid dreams, and other people said they had horrible nightmares, and other times the nightmares were not as bad. The dreams were more pleasurable. Now, the one thing I did want to talk about is that there could be drugs. And I don't mean that YouTube's probably going to be like drugs, but no, like there are medically induced comas, and then there's comas that are like physiologically induced. So like losing a lot of blood, having a stroke, almost drowning, hitting your head, whatever. But then there's ones where like you go in, people were talking about going in for like open heart surgery or like really, really risque surgeries. And in order to help people heal from them, they were put in medically induced comas that would keep their bodies in a state of chilling the heck out, I guess. And that would help them recover. So like in a medically induced coma for like 2 days or a week or 2 weeks, whatever, post a really, really, really risky surgery. So I feel like drugs and the side effects of drugs could possibly be what impacts someone's experience, if that's what I could use to say, experience when they're in a coma or a vegetative-like state. Because one person did point out, they're like, hey, you are on this like cocktail of drugs, and that is probably side effects that are impacting the things that you're perceiving while you're in a coma. So I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. Another story was posted by Queen of Thera, and they said that they had a road traffic accident and they fell into a coma and dreamed that they woke up 30 years in the past. And that they said, quote, it was a hyper-realistic constructed reality. I had my job, my actual job that I had when I was alive, but with much less technology. And there were complex 3D people who became my friends. I'm sorry, but I only watched the first couple, like, I think like the, maybe the first season of this, but WandaVision, was that what the show was called? Where they like make up this reality of people, but they're not actually there type of thing. That is what Queen of Thera's story made me think of. Like, you have a coma, you're in a coma, and then you dream that you wake up 30 years in the past with the same job, but the technology is a little different, and there are complex 3D people who become your friends. This one, I can't really, like, I feel like I can't really conceptualize it or even try to speak on it necessarily in, like, a more metaphysical concept, because, like, you could say that they astral projected or their soul dissociated from their body, as you will, to allow them to be outside of the stream of time, but in another, I don't think they're in another timeline. See, this is the thing that throws me, because we cannot conceptualize things or think of things that we have not seen or experienced or understand yet. So like, even people that make dragons and like monster creations and stuff like that, those are all created, even though they're things that don't technically exist, they're all created from aspects of things that people have already seen, perceived, or heard of. So like, we talk about how your perception of the metaphysical or spiritual around you is going to be given to you by spirit guides or souls or spiritual beings, etc., but can only be given to you using things that you understand, have seen, experienced, etc. So to say that this person went back 30 years in the past, yes, you could argue maybe their soul astral projected or their essence astral projected and was in a different timeline of being 30 years in the past and everything was a little bit different. Or is it the fact that this person knows what things would have been like 30 years in the past, and then their brain created this dreamlike state in which they felt like time was constructed? And I don't know. The only thing is that it uses things that they would know and understand, so I feel like it could be more of a brain dream than an actual like astral projection, soul leave their body, OBE type of thing. But let me know what you think about that one in the comments below, because I know we could definitely argue it to like the nth degree. So it's a lot. It's a lot. Martina, why do you do this to me? All right. So like I talked about, let's get into a little bit of astral projecting. I don't know. See, like I said, I can't quite conceptualize what astral projection is. Like, what is it the difference of based on lucid dreaming? Because like, I know, when you fall asleep, you have your subconscious, right? That is where your dreams are going to happen, where you're going to be able to work through things that are happening in the real world, the Freudian stuff, the Carl Jung type of stuff. But then you have your creative conscious, and I feel like there's a separation. I feel like there's a separation between your subconscious and your creative conscious. Your creative conscious is going to be that higher vibrational consciousness in which you can lucid dream. For example, I read something that Einstein was able to figure out the theory of relativity through lucid dreaming, because he had a dream where he himself perceived where he was standing in relation to time and space. Well, he was just standing at a train station and watching a train pass in front of him at a train station. And because he was able to lucid dream in this sense, he was able to conduct an experiment in a lucid dream state in order to figure out the theory of relativity. So I think your lucid dreaming happens in the creative conscious, and then outside of the creative conscious would be the places of higher frequency in which possibly astral projection or other things could reside, like spirit, heaven, whatever you want to call it, and things that I can't understand, conceptualize, or quantify. But those are like the layers of how I understand consciousness and the soul and where it might be able to travel in relation to the body. So I just, when it comes to astral projection, people sometimes lump it into remote viewing. Some people lump it into psychophysical phenomena, and other people lump astral projection into out-of-body experiences, whether that be a near-death experience or a coma, whatever. But like, remote viewing to me is not astral projection, because I don't think that when I remote view a place, even when I'm doing readings for people, like, sometimes when I remote view places on like the YouTube videos, I'm watching it, watching the place, but I'm not physically there. That could be a sense of remote viewing. But when I remote view things, when I remote view like places, for example, if I'm doing a house reading for someone over Zoom, they're not physically walking around their house showing it to me. They're usually just sitting in one spot on the other side of the Zoom screen on their device, whatever it is, phone, laptop, computer. And their house will show me aspects of themselves. Their house, the energy of their house is what I'm channeling, and I can perceive things that are going on and characteristics of the house because I'm perceiving the energy of the house. And that is what I would say remote viewing is, but I'm not leaving my body to view this house. I'm just psychically channeling the energy of the house. So I don't know if that's like a different definition of remote viewing or if people have different definitions of remote viewing, but I wouldn't lump remote viewing, at least in the way that I do it, into astral projection, because there's not an essence of me that's leaving. It's more like if I were to plug in a wire and be able to receive information like a computer does, that's more so what I'm doing. So I don't know. With astral projection, one person, oh, I wanted to talk about this. Does anybody know about the CIA Gateway reports? I guess this talks about astral projection and this guy who wanted to weaponize it. I mean, not necessarily weaponize it, but like create an army of people that can astral project in order to remote view and know things about the enemy in like a military base. I don't know. I guess it's a 28-page report that was declassified in like 2003 maybe, but page 25 is missing and everyone's like, page 25 is the only thing that makes anything make sense and we can't get it. And then the government's like, we never were even given page 25. And then like the finger gun meme just like plays in the background when they give you that. I don't know. But I guess the Gateway report, if you want to read more on astral projection, perhaps I will read it just so that I can better understand someone else's idea on astral projection. Just to educate myself. But other than that, the only other thing that I could really gain from a good understanding or someone's good definition of astral projection was Gift from Glob on Reddit. And they said that the major difference in lucid dreaming versus astral projection is that during astral projection, you're conscious, you are awake. So scientifically, according to Gift from Glob, this is what they said. So scientifically, the practice of astral projection might be as simple as a person maintaining a fully conscious state while accessing the unconscious mind. So then that last sentence just freaking loses me, my guy. So the practice scientifically of astral projecting, quote, might be as simple as a person maintaining a fully conscious state while accessing the unconscious mind. So you're fully consciously accessing the unconscious. But then other people are like, astral projection is not accessing the unconscious. It's being able to traverse the astral plane, which is higher, different frequencies, the physical world around you, but in an energetic state. I don't know. It just freaks me out. So given this, will I ever understand astral projecting? I'm going to try it. I'm going to tell you guys I'm going to try it. And I'm going to try it with the astral projection card trick, which is what I mentioned a little bit earlier. So I guess the astral projection card trick, if you haven't heard of it, is you're supposed to take a playing card. I don't know if you could use a tarot card. You could even probably use it like a sticky note if you want to, or just a normal piece of paper. Lay it down on a table somewhere in your house, apartment, whatever, face down so that you don't know what it is. I assume no one says not to see what it is, but I'm just going to assume you're not supposed to look at the card like a magic trick. And then you're supposed to figure out how to astral project, however that happens to you. I'm going to go back on Reddit and see what the people say about astral projecting, because I was reading a little bit into it, something about vibrating and then like falling down or something. I don't know. You're supposed to lay down on your back and try to be awake by not falling asleep. Like when you get into that limbo-esque type state, you're supposed to, like between wakefulness and being asleep, you're supposed to ignore not waking yourself up, but also ignore not going asleep. And then some people are like, I get the tinglies all over my body, and then I phase out of myself and into this upright position. Or another person said that they were in their lounge chair and they felt like they dropped out of their lounge chair backwards, like through the chair itself. And I was like, oh, how I feel about that. But anyways, you take the card, the piece of paper, the whatever that's laying face down, you don't know what it is. And when you are able to astral project, you need to walk your astral ass all the way to that playing card, flip it over and see what it is. And then when you wake up, you're supposed to be able to know what that card was, because you did not look at it the night before and you only looked at it through your astral self. So I'm going to try something like that and see if it works. And if it does, you guys will be the first freaking people to know, because, as you know, biggest skeptic of astral projection. And if that works, then I will have some proof or some pudding. I don't know. Something like that. But thank you, Martina, so much for asking your question. I hope I answered your question and gave you all something to think about, laugh about, feel energized about. I don't know. Let me know how you feel about astral projecting below in the comments if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel, or leave me a review with your astral projection story in the comments on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. But until next time, I have readings available. You can make a reading on the website if you like. There is a link in the description below. I appreciate everyone that's been listening. I hope you enjoyed this Sunday's podcast. And until next time, stay spooky, my friends. Peace.